Luke chapter 15. I have something that I am studying and working on that will be a series, but it's going to be a while for that. And the 10 virgins will be extra, but for the next several Sundays, I'm probably just going to preach just some single messages on a little more topical things. But let me just begin here, and for the sake of time, I am not going to read the whole chapter. I just want to set the scene. Luke 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Mm-hmm. You see that? "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured," that is, they complained, "saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them."
Yes, sir.
"And he spake this parable unto them, saying." Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the parable.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, for the sake of exact context, let me say that our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Jews about Jews.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
He is speaking to a Jewish audience. The publicans and sinners were Jewish publicans and sinners.
Yes, sir.
And the Pharisees and the scribes were what? Jewish Pharisees and scribes. So let's make sure we understand that right off the bat. He's talking to these religious Jews. He gives them a parable about other Jews. Okay? That's what he's talking about. But nevertheless, this truth is essential to us as well. Now, the title of this message, and I had one title and I just didn't like it, so I asked Penny for a little help with it, and I'm not blaming her. I had this title to start with, but I thought it might be offensive because I am so prone to be that, or at least be accused of that, and both are true.
Yeah.
The title of this message for this morning is Repentance is No Stepchild.
That's right.
Now I might as well go ahead and say it. I was going to say a cross-eyed runaway redheaded stepchild. But that may be offensive. But I said it anyway. Now, if you're cross-eyed and you're red-headed and you're a runaway and you're a stepchild and you're offended by that, I apologize, but it's tough. Repentance is no stepchild. I did that only for this reason. Maybe if someone sees that on the internet or whatever, it may catch their eye and they may read it or listen to it. But you understand what I'm saying when I say repentance is no stepchild. That is, repentance is not secondary.
Exactly.
It's not something extra, or as I had to start with, repentance is not optional.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Amen. It's not optional.
Exactly.
But repentance is no stepchild. It's not on a lower rung.
No.
And let no one ever think that though we emphasize strongly faith, yet repentance and faith are sister graces.
Exactly.
They go together.
Yes.
You don't have one without the other.
Exactly. That's right.
You know, there are people who emphasize repentance, and usually they mean turn from sin, turn from sin, turn from sin. And that's okay, but that's all they talk about.
Yeah.
You know? There are others who emphasize faith. Believe on Jesus. Believe on Jesus. Believe on Jesus. And that's okay. But that's not all there is to it.
Exactly.
Now, first of all, let me point out this in this one verse. Let me look at verse 3. Because this is important. Notice what it says. Of course, then drew near all the sinners and the publicans and sinners for to what? Hear him.
Amen.
He wasn't having a party.
Exactly.
He wasn't sitting there to be their buddy or their pal.
Exactly.
Okay? They drew near to what? Hear him what? Teach and preach the word of God.
Amen, sir.
And the Pharisees and scribes seen this happen, and then did they say, well, this man's preaching to sinners?
No.
They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.
There you go.
Of course, I'm not going into the Talmud, and they had their Jewish regulations.
Oh, yeah.
that they had come up with, what Christ called the doctrines of men, that they had added into, and you don't associate with publicans and sinners, whoremongers, thieves, you know, bank robbers, that kind, you know, dope fiends. Don't associate with them. But here's what I want to point out. And he spake this, what's that next word? Parable.
Yes, sir.
You notice what it says. He spake this what? Parable.
Yes, sir.
Now you go back into Matthew, even Luke, go back into other earlier, and it says Jesus Christ would have been speaking to people, sometimes to his disciples, sometimes to his disciples and others, sometimes just to others and not the disciples, though they were probably there. But yet it says, and he spake unto them these parables,
yeah,
right? Saying. And then they will list the different parables. But yet Luke says here he spake unto them this what? Singular.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, do we believe God is exact in what he meant for us to know or not?
Exactly. That's
I was always, for a long time, under the impression, and I read it, but I just didn't see it, that there were three parables here.
Yeah.
Parable of the sheep, parable of the coin, parable of the prodigal son, right? That's not so.
Exactly.
There is one parable here. Is that not what that says?
Yes,
and
sir.
He spake unto them this, that's particular in the Greek, this parable, and he spake this parable unto them saying. So I put it this way. Here is one parable with three object lessons.
Yeah.
But there is a central truth to all three.
Yes, sir.
That's why it's one parable.
Right.
Now, it emphasizes, that is, these three examples, if you want, these three stories, we don't know whether they're actual accounts of anything or not. You understand what I'm saying? Mason Christ may have just brought these three object lessons out of the blue, you know, from similar experiences that men and women may have had in the past. Nothing tells us these are exact accounts of things that happened, but yet he's speaking one parable to them, but he has three separate object lessons.
Yeah.
But in these object lessons, there is one central truth with two facets to it. Now, you read, you can go back and check this out later. You don't have time to do it now. I don't have time to go into it now. But you go and read these three different object lessons, which the scripture says is one parable, you will find two things, it's one truth, two things common to all three. Some things are not common to all three. You know what I'm saying? For instance, a man's got 100 sheep, one of them's lost. A woman has what? 10 pieces of silver, one's lost. A man has two sons, one's lost. That's a common theme, but what's the lost all about? The one thing that's common to both is not just the lostness, but this lost one being found and there being rejoicing in heaven.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's common to all three. The first two, it actually says there's rejoicing in heaven.
Yeah.
The third one, you have the Father rejoicing and others rejoicing with him, right? They had a big party.
Yes, sir.
When this prodigal son showed back up, Joe.
Yes, sir.
They had a big gathering. Now, first of all, and I've done pointed out, but what was immediately happening here? What was taking place? Our Lord was teaching people.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
He wasn't healing anyone here.
Nope.
Was he? Wasn't raising the dead. He was teaching here. He was preaching here. That's why these sinners came to him.
Yeah.
Don't get the idea that Jesus came down here to be the buddy to a bunch of drunks.
You're right. That's right.
Because basically that's what the scribes and Pharisees were trying to accuse him of.
Exactly.
And that's not the fact. No. They said, this man receiveth sinners. That was true. And he eats with them. That was true. But that's not what was happening, was it? They weren't eating. He was what? Teaching.
Yeah.
And preaching. And that's what this religious world hates more than anything else.
Exactly.
They wouldn't mind it if I'd stand up here and heal people of their sicknesses.
Yeah.
Would they? They wouldn't mind that if I sit up here and massaged your ego and made you feel good. They would come in too, David, to have their ego massaged as well. But men in general, and especially religious people, don't want to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. And that's what he was preaching here. That's what he was going to preach. So the immediate thing that was happening was our Lord was teaching them. He wasn't having a party with the publicans and the sinners. But what is he actually doing and what is he still doing?
Yeah.
What was he actually doing? What is he still doing? Here it is. Christ saves individual lost ones.
Yes, sir.
Because all three object lessons, which equal one parable, teach that very same thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 100 sheep, but what? One is saved.
That's right.
10 pieces of silver, but what? One is saved. Two sons, but what? One is saved.
Yes, sir.
But, let me add this. Christ saves individual lost ones. Because there are 100 sheep, but only one is what? Lost. There are 10 pieces of silver, but only one is what?
Lost.
There are two sons, but only one is said to be what? Lost.
That's right.
Now, I don't have time, and I'm not going to make this out to be a series. I don't have time to go through all the details and all the words. But when Christ called them sheep, I don't believe he just drew that out of thin air.
Exactly.
When Christ said they were pieces of silver the woman owned, which were drachmas, which was made out of silver, it actually would be she had 10 drachmas and she lost one drachma, which was silver. And what is silver the metal for? Somebody said out loud, you know it? Redemption. These were 10 redeemed ones. That would be the indication here. And he had the man, this rich man, in what it says, and there was a certain man had two what?
Sons. Yes, sir.
They were both sons.
Exactly.
Huh? Now that's what this says. I haven't given you my opinion. I've told you what? What this says. So all three of these object lessons teaches this one central truth. Christ saves individual lost ones one at a time.
Yes, sir.
Right? One at a time.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if there were five, and there were on occasion.
Yeah.
And maybe I might have the number. It was 3,000, maybe 5,000. I may be wrong with that. But even when Christ saved thousands at once, he still was saving each one of them individually.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a group salvation.
Exactly.
There is no you got saved because I got saved.
Yeah.
There is no I got saved because you got saved. And if that's why you think you got saved, it's because somebody else did something, you're outside.
Amen.
Because yeah. Jesus Christ calls his sheep how?
By name.
By name.
Amen.
By name. So Christ saves individual lost ones one at a time, whether there are 10 or whether there are 100 or there are 10 or there are 2.
Yeah.
And this is what it says. Verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose what? One.
That's it.
One. Then in verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over what? One sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
Right? Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose what? One piece. Then he concludes that one. Likewise in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over what? One sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
And then you come down and find out that what? Here's a father that had two sons. And it's summarized this way, verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy, what? Brother, singular.
Yes, sir.
Was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.
Amen.
Now, first of all, he ain't talking about backsliding believers.
No.
Because they are summarized here as lost and dead. That's the scriptural language, right?
Yes, sir.
Lost. The first two object lessons, they were lost. They're not said to be dead, but they were lost, right? And in the third, which is the summary, it is this one person is what? lost and dead.
Amen.
So these are not some backslidden believer.
Exactly.
These are unregenerate ones. In other words, all 100 are sheep. Done said it, right? Mm-hmm. All of the coins, all of the 10 coins are what? They're all the same. Drachmas. They're silver coins. And both of these guys were what? Sons.
Yes,
sons. Now what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. Now it is an object lesson, but it's one parable teaching one truth. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, not the flip side, but another peek at this, we can say, all 100 are sheep, all 10 are silver, both were sons. Alongside of that is this, all 100 were owned by one shepherd.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
All 10 pieces of silver were owned by one woman.
Yes, exactly.
And that doesn't bother me a bit. For God to, now listen, for God himself to object lesson himself as a woman and says he owns me.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't bother me a bit. I am called his bride. That means I'm his woman.
Exactly. That's it.
Right?
Amen.
So don't get your jabbings in a wad when you read about being the sons of God. And why don't it say daughters? Because God calls you sons. Be glad to be a son.
Yeah.
No matter what your sex is. Right?
Exactly.
Now people get all kinds of weird ideas.
Yeah.
They get offended. But that's what Christ said would happen to unregenerate people. They'd be offended at the truth. I'm his woman and I'm glad to be one of his women. Right? That's just the way it is. If he wants to, Mason, object lesson himself as a woman owning 10 pieces of silver, that's his business, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's his business. Let us quit playing with fairy tales and just tell the truth as it is.
Exactly.
If it offends somebody, tough. That's right, tough. We don't find our Lord Jesus Christ on any occasion when people were offended saying, let me back up, take another step, let me try this again.
That's right.
Did he?
No, sir.
Now one thing, I sometimes may have to do that because I state things wrongly.
That's
he
right.
never did. And if I state what he stated, it will lay where it's at.
Yes, sir.
No matter what.
Exactly.
That's just the way it is. So all 100 were owned by one shepherd. All 10 pieces of silver were owned by one woman. The father was the father of both.
That's right.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
God doesn't become our father, but we do become his sons.
Yes.
As we become his sons.
Exactly.
But Joe actually stated, but we're always been his children.
That's right.
And that's adoption, and that's what I'm planning on preaching on later. But I'm not going into that now.
Exactly.
Now think about this. The lost here, or dead, as it is indicated in the last object lesson of the parable, the lost here and dead here does not denote our mere legal condition by nature. Because by nature, all sheep are lost.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Sir.
By nature, they're all. This is not the legal condition by nature here, but the condition of experience that he's talking about. You understand the difference. Now that's my language. That's the only way I know how to put it. All men are sinners by nature.
Exactly.
All men and women are lost by nature, but not everyone knows it.
Exactly.
Not everyone is lost, Joe.
Exactly.
Though all are lost. But here it's not a bunch are lost, and he recovers one or two or three, or all, is it? Here is a group of sheep, or coins, or two sons. They're all the same thing as they are, but one becomes lost. Is that not what these object lessons teach? It's not teaching we were born lost, though that's the truth of Scripture. Here they become lost, Mason, right? Is that not what these object lessons teach?
That's right.
That's what the one parable teaches. There's a time when God's people become lost.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Become lost. You become dead.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying you're born alive in Christ and then you die. Not what I'm talking about. But our Lord here is talking about experience. These publicans and sinners didn't come to join up with him because they heard he gathered with other publicans and sinners and had some wine and some biscuits.
Exactly.
They came to hear him teach what he had been teaching.
Yes, sir.
These were interested, seeking publicans and sinners.
Yes, sir.
They wanted to hear what he had to say. So the lost here, the dead here, does not denote legal condition by nature, but the condition of experience. Thus, all three denote the actual experience condition. It must always precede repentance. You don't repent and they say, oh, I've been lost all that time before. No, God shows you you're lost before you'll ever repent.
Exactly.
He has to, you know, in other words, I've said it this way before. He has to make you alive before you even knew you were dead.
Exactly.
He has to cause you to know you're lost before you ever recognize you've been found. Though you were found before you even knew you were lost. You say, I don't understand that. You will if you've ever been lost and found.
Exactly.
Because you've been there. And you realize you were found before you knew you were even lost. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But what did you first recognize? That you were found? No. The first thing you recognized was what? You was lost.
Exactly.
Now, granted, two of the object lessons takes that, the lost part, outside of the realm of human will or whatever. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep if he lose one of them? Right?
Yeah.
But now remember, he is using human illustrations to teach spiritual truth. Now think about this. I want you to, most people think of this as the same thing. Let me turn to it because I can't quote it. It's in Luke 5. This is the same writer. And this is a previous occasion. Luke 5, verses 27 through 32. And they think this is the exact same kind of thing, you see. Now look at it. Verse 27 of Luke 5, but after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, what? Follow me. And he did.
Yeah.
So much so that he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. Here was a what?
Yeah.
Here was a party. You see what I'm saying? Now, not a drunken party. You know what I'm saying? You understand? But here's a feast.
Yeah.
It's a happy time. Right?
Exactly.
Levi is celebrating this one calling him.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What he's doing here. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? Note, sinners to repent. Now, let me tell you something. Repentance is a gift of God.
Amen.
You don't work it up.
That's right.
You don't come into it all, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. You don't work it up. The only reason it comes along is because God Almighty's given you spiritual life.
Amen. That's right.
But notice what he said. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here is not, in this parable with three object lessons, is not Christ calling sinners to repentance, but repenting sinners being fully received by Jesus Christ. That's the truth that's taught here. The coin, the one sheep among 100 is what? Lost.
Exactly.
The one coin among 10 becomes what? Is what? Lost. The two sons, one of them is what? Lost. So, think of it this way. Repentance. And God's rejoicing, because that's what he said. He says there, let me read it. Verse 7. This is Christ's own explanation, or summary, I should rather say, of the first object lesson. I say unto you that likewise, just like this guy who has one sheep lost, he goes out and what? He hunts it till he finds it, and he's bringing it all the way home on his shoulders. Now that lets us know God does all the work.
Amen.
He's responsible for this.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the same thing in the 10 coins. One coin among 10 is lost, and this woman lights a candle and sweeps the house until she finds it.
Amen.
There ain't no letting this coin or this sheep go.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right.
And our Lord said about his sheep, them also I must bring.
Amen.
So that lets us know all this is initiated by God, mm-hmm. not by the repentant sinner. But what happens? That person becomes lost.
Yes, sir.
Lost. And this is what he says, verse 7, and I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And again in verse 10 of the second object lesson, likewise I say unto you, and notice how then he adds, he keeps adding truth here.
Yeah,
exactly. He said, adding details that give us more insight as to this one parable by the different object lessons. And in the second one, he says, likewise I say unto you, that there is joy in the presence, what? Of the angels of God. Now, who's in heaven with God? Angels.
Yeah.
And we might could say, although there was a question about that at this time, believers who had died. But remember, believers who had died up to a certain time were not said to be where? In heaven, they were said to be where? Abraham's bosom. Paradise, what's called paradise.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to go into all that. The point is this, God Almighty is the one rejoicing.
Yeah.
Why? Because he found his sheep.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty is rejoicing. Why? Because he found his coin.
That's right.
Why? Because it was his sheep. And because it was his coin.
Yes, sir.
And then in the third object lesson, what do you have? And it's like old Don Fortner said, it's the only place in the Bible that God depicts himself, and I changed a little from what he said, but God depicts himself as getting in a hurry. But look at what it says.
Yeah.
In verse 20 about the prodigal son, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him. You remember old Earl used to say, before the son even saw the father saw the son. Even here, we see God seeing us first.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? What Earl said? But look, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. You see that? That's somebody that's excited about this, right?
Yes, sir.
See, God's not just up there, all right, got one saved. I got another one saved. God Almighty himself is here indicated as rejoicing in saving a single sinner.
Amen.
That ought to give you some comfort.
Yes, sir.
Because bless God, if he saved you, he put some effort into it. And he was happy and rejoiced in seeing his work fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
I found this lost sheep. I found the lost coin. But we are not just inanimate objects or sheep. Per se, are we? We are also sons.
Amen.
And we have feelings, and we have a will, and all of these things have to be affected as well.
Yes, sir.
God don't save me and I just wake up in heaven one day.
Exactly.
God saves me and it causes me to go home to the Father. Doesn't it?
Exactly.
It causes me to run home to the Father. Repentance and God's rejoicing in one sinner, over one sinner that repenteth, is the one truth common to all three of these object lessons. Right? That's the one thing that's common to all three.
Yes, sir.
All three have a slightly different things it teaches, right? But one thing that's common to all three is that. A sinner repenting and God rejoicing over it.
Yes, sir.
That's a marvelous thing to me.
Yeah.
Being lost. And being dead is not the gift of God, is it? Any more than the first two object lessons teach that God loses anybody.
Yeah.
You know, he's not saying, I actually lost one. You know what I mean? That's not the point of the object lessons.
Yeah, you're right.
But yet, God, the being lost and being dead is not the gift of God any more than the first two would teach that God loses anyone, but repentance is God's gift.
Amen.
That's what the first two object lessons teach. And when God gives you the gift of repentance, it's real.
Amen.
That's what the third object lesson declares.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? Now you get it now?
Yeah.
Sinking in just a little? The first two teach it's God's work to get you there.
Yes, sir.
It's even God's work for you to know you're lost.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's even God's work. He's got to come find you before you know where he's at. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
We didn't even know we was lost, David, until he come and found us and told us we was lost.
Exactly.
You know? But yet, when he finds you, when he gives repentance, this repentance is what? It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. Think about it. Yes, object lessons 1 and 2 teach God's preemptive. Now, I know some people don't like that word because of some politicians using it. But here, God is preemptive.
Yes, sir.
God acts first.
Amen.
And he always acts first.
Yeah.
The first two object lessons, number 1 and 2, teach God's preemptive and unfailing work.
Amen.
Yes. When God goes after you, he will have you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if God goes after you, you were already his.
Amen. That's it.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Whether you're a sheep or a coin or a son. You're his. He owned you, lock, stock, and barrel. So it is his preemptive, but his unfailing work. Once God Almighty moves, and this is not talking about, I know the third object lesson talks about a sacrifice, and that's certainly true, but here the sacrifice comes after.
Yeah.
But isn't that true for these Jews?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
For these Jews, Mason, the sacrifice would come after the repentance. But the repentance only was valid if there were to be a sacrifice.
Exactly.
But be that as it may.
Yeah.
The first two object lessons, again, teach God's preemptive and unfailing work. He searches till he finds that sheep. He lays it on his shoulder and he carries it how far? All the way home, so much so that he tells the people around him, "Rejoice with me." The woman loses the coin, and she lights a candle and sweeps and searches diligently till she finds it and then says to her women friends, "Come on over, we're going to have a party. I found what I lost."
Amen.
This is God's preemptive, unfailing work. But here, it's only after lostness.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? In this parable, it's only after lostness. You see that? The third object lesson then teaches the individual lost sinners. First, verse 13, they come to know their corruption.
Yeah.
Don't they? "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." He was, how do I put it? He spent his money on booze and whores. That's the object lesson.
Yeah.
I can't apologize for it. That's what Christ gave, right?
Exactly.
I mean, the son said he wasted it on harlots. The older son did, remember? Wasted on harlots. But this third object lesson teaches this. First, the first two teach, listen, it's God's work to get you wherever you need to be.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Right? It's all up to God. But when God Almighty gives repentance, repentance is real. But anyway, this okay, look, first of all, how are you going to know you're corrupt unless you've been there?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Now, let me tell you, God says he saves whoremongers. Guess what has to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, don't be too shy. There's got to be some whoremongers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If God saves drunks, there's going to have to be some drunks.
Yeah.
Now, you can play games all day long if you want to. If God saves thieves, somebody got to steal something.
Yes, sir.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Everybody said yes. That's the way it is, isn't it?
That's it.
So we see even here that everything is under the sovereign. Who gave the son that money?
Yeah.
The father.
The father gave him the money. Who gives you the breath to live? In him we live and move and had our being. God Almighty was the one that gave us all the strength we had back yonder when we was in our lostness. Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He could have shut us down right then.
Exactly.
Anywhere, anytime, anyway. So the son here, this younger son, realizes or experiences, no, his corruption. He wasted it on righteous living, but then he also comes to utter emptiness.
Exactly.
Right? And when he has spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And notice how God just shut this boy down.
Yeah.
You remember how God just shut you down?
Exactly.
Not only did you spend all you had, but nobody else had much anything else either.
Exactly.
Nobody had anything to really offer you, did they? So you come, you taste, you enjoy your corruption, don't you? But you also are brought to what? Utter emptiness. But even then, there's still spiritual ignorance.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, look at it, verse 15 and 16. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and what? And no man gave unto him. You see, when God Almighty regenerates an individual, they don't automatically know everything.
Exactly.
You didn't, and I didn't.
That's it.
Well, you got to know at least the 5 points. This we usually probably don't even begin grasping, but a tenth of the first one, or whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
The point is not how much you know about what's out there, it's what you know about where you are right now.
Yeah.
That boy had to realize where he was right now first, before going home was of any value to him.
That's it.
That's the way it is. So he was still in spiritual ignorance. But then what happens? Verse 17 through 19, a change of mind happens, doesn't it? Look at it. And when he came to himself.
Yes, sir.
Now this doesn't teach that you got to do it, because he's already in the first two object lessons teaches who has to do it. God has to, the owner of the sheep and the owner of the coins has to initiate this deal.
Yes, sir.
And keep it going, right? But yet what happened? He came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And what did he say? I'll just take my place as a slave.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said? I just want to be with you, where I can be fed and be taken care of. Now I ask you, do you remember that time? Do you remember this corruption, this utter emptiness, this spiritual ignorance? Do you remember that change of mind?
Yes, sir.
Huh? And what else? Not only was it a change of mind, but then there was an actual change of action.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Verse 19, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And notice it says he came to his father before he even got there.
Yeah.
Notice it didn't say he began coming to his father. Where did, why, because where, how had he come to his father? By faith.
Yes. That's it.
He believed he would be received before he ever got there and found out for sure if he would be, didn't he, Joe?
Yes, sir.
You see that? Just that little tint. Now, granted, it's a human story, but yet it has, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, before he even got there, his father seen him.
Amen.
And had compassion and ran, and as Don Fortner said, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And as the Greek says, it's like the father grabbed him and just kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kept on kissing him. Now, aren't you glad your salvation don't depend on me?
Exactly.
Most of us don't want to kiss one another one time. Especially when we still got the smell of the hog trough on us.
Exactly.
Right? But the Father receives us what? As we are. That's the object lesson. Sinners and publicans. Now, let me line this up. It's late, folks, and I know we still got the table. But we can talk about free reigning grace all day long, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. But until we experience it in truth as the prodigal, we don't know nothing about it.
Exactly.
Or, now I won't have time to deal with it, or, as the elder son should have, how we ought to bow to it nonetheless. Because see, we're not all drunks. We're not all fornicators. We're not all harlots, are we?
You're right.
Are we? Not all of us has been in the swine pit, David. Not everybody has. But what was the elder son told to do? Rejoice nonetheless, even if your brother was in the midst of all that corruption. Why? Because your only blessing as the elder son comes from who? The Father.
Amen. That's it.
He said, you've always been with me.
Yeah.
Everything I have is yours. He wasn't a Pharisee, Joe. A reprobate Pharisee. He may have been a Pharisee, but he was a what? An elect one.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if maybe there wasn't a guy named Saul of Tarsus somewhere around. I don't know. You know that? Griping and complaining that this guy's receiving these publicans and sinners. Well, let me tell you, if he's received you, it's still free, reigning, sovereign grace. No matter if you're not as bad as somebody else. You know, we're not all equally, we haven't all equally committed the same things. But let me tell you, we all equally need God's free sovereign grace. You know? And just because maybe you weren't where I was or I wasn't where you was, what we all need to do is thank the Father that His blessings are upon us.
Amen.
Right? That's the object lesson here.
Yes, sir.
That's the parable. God's not saying, well, I got two sons, but I'll go damn one and save the other. No, He saved both.
Yeah.
One had been a harlot. Oh, harlot. Had been a whoremonger. Hadn't he? One hadn't. But it still didn't matter. Both of them's blessing came from where? The Father. Now see, that's just something that I've never heard hardly anybody ever preach.
Yeah.
Not that I all of a sudden have brought it to you. It's been here for almost 2,000 years.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying nobody else has ever said this. I just ain't heard them.
Exactly.
Because most by people want to talk about, well, those old bad Pharisees. Well, let's remember, at least one of those Pharisees was one of the elect of God. Wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
He was the elder son.
Yeah.
You see, this it's all grace. And isn't that glorious? So when God Almighty brings a sinner home and rejoices, you know what we ought to do? Rejoice with him. Right? It doesn't matter how long you've been in a household.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter how much you know or how much you have or how faithful you've been, Joe. Doesn't matter how much you have. Doesn't matter. When God brings one in and says, rejoice with me, we ought to rejoice with him.
Amen.
Huh?
That's it.
Father, I pray that you teach us these things, not in doctrine only, but in our experience. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Maybe Roy Jr. and David, would y'all mind to pass out the bread and the wine?